the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't
gamble.
I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Wow, Payne, if that introduction doesn't get you going for week one of the Bet the Board podcast, season preview in the rearview mirror, buddy, I'm not sure what will.
I love it. Got me amped. I'm ready.
We've had plenty of time to digest these numbers. Some will call stale, some will call opportunistic as we look at week one. But, you know, it's time to talk a little bit of shop. The man on the other end of the line, you can follow him on Twitter, at Payne Insider. You can follow me, at Todd Furman. Payne, but before we get into the meat and potatoes of this podcast, we need to thank Brett Jackson and Sam Paniatovich for putting together that outstanding open. And Sam will be with us all season long producing until we try and upgrade overall talent.
Big round of applause for those boys. Great introduction. I think it is a huge addition to the Bet the Board podcast.
And before we get into individual games, as new listeners should come to realize, we don't break down every single game on this podcast because the bottom line is this. Every game doesn't offer value or, as we get deeper into the season, a whole lot of intrigue. But before we do that, Payne, let's talk a little bit about early season handicapping. What do you take from the preseason, and how important is it not to overreact or underreact to some of the results we've seen when the games are virtually meaningless?
Yeah, one thing I like to do is I take a note of what the lines are before the preseason starts and then after it concludes, and kind of see lots of line movements. I know everybody's quick to jump. They kind of ingrain themselves on what they saw last, and that's not necessarily what you want to do, a lot of overreaction. But one thing I definitely like to do is watch every preseason game, get the All-22 film, see where there's some holes and some matchups advantages, because it's very, very tough to get those issues shored up in just a week's time.
And you talk about, you know, how some of the market will start to move, and it's so important to understand where those numbers open and where they sit right now. Monday night, a great place to start, and of course, we'll cover the Monday night tandem of football games in greater detail in our normal time slot on Monday. But you talk about San Francisco, a 3.5-point favorite. That number swung to 2.5 the other way. Philadelphia, -1. That's out to 3. We've seen some other movements as well. The Bears, 4.5 out to 6.5, even 7 as a dog in some locations. You know, how do you go about approaching trying to identify some of that value in sides and totals if you see such market movement?
Well, I think it's the first week, so the big takeaway here is we're not trying to get rich overnight. You can lose your bankroll.
Wait a second. Why am I on this podcast if I'm not trying to get rich overnight? What the hell is going on here?
I think that's the huge takeaway. This is a long season. It's a grind. We treat these teams just like companies in the stock market. So that's the biggest key here. And again, these lines have been out at some shops for over 4 months. The market's a tad beat up. There's some value still out there, and we'll get to that in greater detail in a little bit. But I think that's the biggest key here. And a lot of times you also have to definitely remind yourself, some of these moves are positioning for a different reason, and we'll see some of those moves, come on game day. But there's some definitely jostling in the market, and what might have been a great play on Minnesota months ago or even weeks ago isn't necessarily the case come Monday.
Yeah, a big difference when you're taking 3.5 or even 4 on a game and now looking to lay 2.5 potentially on a number that may end up closing 3 in that late time slot. Of course, we'll get Dave Mason's take on what that game could potentially mean to the book later on in the show. Now, professionals, week one, typically a time that they jump in. I know you said not looking to get rich quick, but is there more value as we start to get through weeks 2 through 4, public perception starts to take hold?
Yeah, we definitely see public perception start to take hold, especially after week one. Everybody is crowning their Super Bowl champions already and things of that nature. Again, a lot of the value in the week one card at this point, because the lines have been out so long, not a ton of value. right now. And I think a lot of the listeners, hopefully they still continue to tune into the rest of this podcast, but I think there'll be some value, but it'll definitely change week to week. And I think there's be more opportunity at this stage in the game moving forward.
And you mentioned crowning winners. Well, we actually did that on our season preview podcast. So folks listening to the week one edition, encourage you to take a listen, a little bit longer version covering win totals, division futures, and of course teams that we think have a great opportunity to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. But Payne, every marathon starts with the first mile of the journey. And let's get right into the nuts and bolts of week one. We'll start at the top of the board with Green Bay at Chicago. Right now you're looking at the Packers, a 6.5-point favorite at BetOnline. Total in this game, 50. There's been a war of words between these two head coaches and, of course, a rash of injuries wreaking havoc on this high-powered Green Bay Packers offense.
Yeah, again, knowing kind of the reasoning behind some of these moves is definitely worth noting. We know the public will be on Green Bay, but Sharp guys definitely did a good job getting out ahead of the market, laying the 4.5, laying the 5, knowing they could come back on game day and likely take 7 back with Chicago if that's what they wanted to do. We know question marks at wide receiver. Elshon Jeffrey, is he good to go? We'll see. He claims he's going to play, so that'll be a big determinant if some of the professionals come back on Chicago.
Yeah, the Bears are a fascinating team to try and watch this season. I know so many people down on them, but eventually when everybody starts to pile on, it does end up creating a little bit of value in the market. I would agree, Payne. I think this number does get to 7 pretty much everywhere. We're seeing 7s already. I don't think we'll see a hook in the market, but if you like the dog, you might be best served to wait this out a bit. A team that caught a lot of buzz given their role on Hard Knocks, the Houston Texans, a short 1-point home favorite. Looking at a total on this game right now, sitting at 41, you've seen a little bit of money come in on the under. You know, what do we make of the Houston Texans with Brian Hoyer at quarterback? And more importantly, how long is Alex Smith going to hold the starting quarterback job for Andy Reid's team that expects to contend in the AFC West?
You know, I like this Houston team. I like them defensively on that side of the ball. I think they'll be, I don't know how much more you can improve, but you get Cushing back, so that's a great addition. How long can he stay healthy? That'll be a big question mark on the defensive side of the ball. Brian Hoyer, we don't really know what he is. Is he a game manager? It would help if they had some semblance of a running game. Not a huge Alfred Blue fan. Arian Foster supposed to be back now between weeks 4 and 6, so that'll be a nice boost. Kansas City on the other side, not a huge Alex Smith guy. He's extremely limited in what the offense can do. They bring in Macklin, but past him and Kelsey, not a ton of outside weapons, so to speak. The defense for me in Kansas City is the huge question mark this year. We know they couldn't stop the run last year. Poe looks like he'll be out a little bit. You get Johnson back from his Achilles injury. How healthy is he going to be? And we talked about this in the preseason podcast. Eric Berry, great story. Happy he's back healthy, but he kind of looks like a shell of himself. Sean Smith suspended for 4 games. So that's a big loss in the secondary as well. So for me, I know we've seen kind of some movement towards the under. We did see a quick tick up as we got on this call from 40.5 out to that key number of 41. So was that maneuvering to get more money down on the under, or was that, you know, a slight tick up getting the best of that number, trying to middle it from the opening of 42.5?
Definitely going to be an interesting game, one for me personally. It doesn't offer a whole lot of betting value, but I think we can use as a measuring stick for two teams that have aspirations on doing some damage in the AFC this year. And these two teams definitely have eyes on the prize. No, I'm not talking about Cleveland and the New York Jets, a game that we'll brush over ever so gracefully. The Indianapolis Colts go into Orchard Park, New York to take on the Bills. You're looking at Indianapolis, a 2.5-point favorite. You do have to lay $1.20. Total in this game, 46. The Tyrod Taylor Show gets off in earnest, but the Colts, picked by many to not only win their division but represent the AFC in San Francisco playing for the big prize.
This is one of those games where you can just see how the market has gotten so sophisticated over the years. Even just a handful of years ago, this is a game where Buffalo's catching 3.5-4 at home. We're now under that key number, so not a ton of value there for me. And this Indianapolis defense, lots of question marks on that side of the ball. They did bring in some guys like Trent Cole. They get Mathis back healthy. I think Darrell Arthur's a huge loss there on the defensive line, but Kendall Langford, a guy they brought in the offseason, that's a big addition here. I don't know. Again, I don't like Indianapolis' defense, but I think they'll be able to prepare for this style of Buffalo offense pretty well. So I'm going to initially I would look Buffalo here, but I'm not going to do it at this price. Tyrod Taylor, still some question marks there. This is an offense that is going to have to play just getting forward progress. On first down, picking up two or three is huge because this isn't an offense that's going to be able to sustain drives if Tyrod Taylor's looking at third and long. So a game that I'm staying away from, we kind of teased it in the preseason pod, looking more towards Buffalo in week two and not so much here.
And not to create too many parallels between the pro and college game for those folks that watch Virginia Tech and Ohio State, Buffalo's offense may resemble Virginia Tech needing to stay ahead of the chains. Tyrod Taylor and Michael Brewer, glorified game managers, but you know we'll get to that in greater detail when we talk about the Bills, as you mentioned, looking at their Week 2 matchup. Now, Payne, of course, a team that you know all too well and podcast listeners have come to respect your opinion. Not that they don't on the other teams in the NFL, but this team maybe more so than anybody. I think you were undefeated or only had one loss handicapping games that involved the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins, a 3.5-point chalk at Washington. We know about the Redskins' turmoil. We know how that this number opened up below the key number of 3. Still value at 4 with a total 43.5.
You know, Washington obviously isn't very good. I think they'll be a little improved defensively. They'll be without a couple cornerbacks this week. I think Breland's a significant loss there. So I think Washington definitely takes some strides forward on defense. Kirk Cousins, we kind of know what he is when teams were able to prepare for him a little bit. But either way, huge upgrade over RG3. I like Miami at 2.5, laid a little bit of it. Now with Kirk Cousins in there, he provides some semblance of quarterback play. So at 4, 4.5, not a game that I'm looking to get involved with. Some question marks for Miami with the offensive line there. Is Brandon Elbert going to play? He's come out, said that his knee is fine, but his conditioning isn't up to par, so it'll be interesting to see if he goes. If he doesn't, their backup left tackle with Jason Fox, he still hasn't passed the concussion protocol, so they could be really trotting out someone at the left tackle position that doesn't usually play there, so that'll be something that you definitely have to monitor moving forward.
And a game, Payne, not to kind of jump around too much, as we look towards the afternoon slate, we know that Baltimore-Denver, which we'll get into in just a minute, is the so-called marquee game on the schedule. But when you have the number one quarterback going up against the number two quarterback overall in the draft, Tampa, a 3-point favorite, total of 41. Where should some of our listeners even begin to start potentially handicapping this game between two teams whose win totals sit right around 6 or less in some locations?
Yeah, this will be an interesting game to watch. I'm not running to bet it. I think Mike Evans, we need to see if he's a go. All signs pointing to that being the case. Tennessee, I think, is a team that we're going to be betting a lot. Not necessarily, you know, going over their win total, but I think we'll see hopefully some improvements with Dick LeBeau coming in there. You add Parrish Cox, Brian Arakpo to that defense, and hopefully it's improved enough with the scheme change, with a few additions. Tampa Bay, I think this is a team, again, that we might be backing you know, later on in the season when Jameis Winston gets acclimated to some things and kind of goes through the first few weeks of the pro game and what that has to offer. So this is a game that I'm not doing anything on. I'm definitely going to watch it multiple times to see what I can gain from it. But nothing for me at this point in week one.
I'm sure our listeners love hearing the fact that we're going to be on the Titans and Tampa Bay Buccaneers regularly throughout the course of their NFL regular season. I mentioned Baltimore and Denver. Again, it's very interesting. One of the bigger total moves that we've seen from 52 on down to 49. Denver's taking some money. 4, 4.5, depending on where you look at the opener. What do we make of the Broncos this year? A change in style. Will Peyton Manning come back to being that guy that's capable of airing the ball out? More importantly, Baltimore, we know this team plays well on the road. Can they start their potential Super Bowl campaign with a big road win against the Broncos?
I think you teased the total right there. It did open 52. We're now down to 49, pretty much as a consensus number, and I think this is kind of a good handicapping tip is why we use a bet spread. So we might not necessarily love that we miss some value, but if there still is some value, you know, you're betting it at the lower end of your spread. And I still think the total does present some value simply because of some of the things you mentioned. Denver is going to be going more run-oriented with Peyton Manning. And even though they're doing that, the offensive line, I think, will struggle a little bit. I think C.J. Anderson regresses a little bit in year two. The defense, despite Ward being suspended, I think will be the strong point of Denver this year. We know Gary Kubiak loves to run the ball. Baltimore, on the flip side, some question marks on offense. Looks like Breshad Perryman's out. As much as I love Steve Smith, he is a gamer, but at this age in his career, I don't know if he's your number one. Max Williams, a little disappointing so far, having trouble picking up the offense, so now you don't really have a tight end incorporating into the offense. They'll need to rely on that big offensive line and moving the pile forward with Forsett, something that they might be able to do right up the middle against Denver now that Terrence Knighton is no longer there.
You talked about spread, and it's an interesting point that we'll get into in greater detail about moving numbers and how much value is actually lost, 52 down to 49. But first half-wise, you're looking at a total of 24.5 most likely when everybody opens up. Potentially wouldn't have been any higher than 26 there. Does that angle make a little bit more sense when you're talking about getting that valuable hook above a key number, maybe looking to go the first 30 minutes instead of the full game?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Once the market opens, and hopefully you do get that 24.5, it's definitely an angle to look at this point in time. And it's something that everyone needs to kind of incorporate into their handicapping, just like a baseball total first five innings, avoiding the bullpen. The markets, again, have adjusted and gotten a little more sophisticated, but they are a little slower moving than the overall game market.
And I think it's going to be one of the games to watch. We'll learn quite a bit about these two teams. And the Sunday Nighter, of course, plans to have plenty of intrigue. These two NFC East rivals going at it yet again in prime time. Dallas, a six-point favorite. Total in this one, 51.5. And we'll pick Dave Mason's brain a bit, asking him what kind of movement they've seen on the total given the Orlando Scandrick injury. But what do you make of these two teams, Payne, especially in this prime time slot? We know how close a game they played last year, one that we were actually on the Giants. They just couldn't close down there in Big D.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there'll be a lot of defense played in this. I think the move upwards certainly warranted. And, you know, again, professionals likely getting out ahead of the market, knowing this is only going to tick upwards. And then they'll figure out what they want to do with it later. From a game perspective, Dallas, we know the defense not as strong as numbers indicated last season simply because they were able to keep the offense on the field. That will be interesting to see if they're able to do that with kind of a smorgasbord of Joseph Randall, McFadden, and now the newly acquired Michael. So that'll be interesting to see. The Giants, again, not much defensively. They continue to get injured on that side of the ball. Obviously, Jason Pierre-Paul's injury, a little bit freaky, but when you look at them in the overall landscape of things, the defense the last 2 years has ranked dead last in starts missed. So you have to ask your question, is this just a poor medical staff, or is Tom Coughlin doing something in practice that might be too physically laboring to his guys? So, again, both defenses, huge question marks there. Offenses should rule the day on Sunday Night Football.
We can definitely question the competency of the medical staff. I'll say one thing, and the Giants shouldn't be responsible for JPP losing his finger in a fireworks accident this offseason, because I don't know if that's on any NFL team's particular training program. Now, Payne, of course, a lot of people listening, they want to hear the Thursday night breakdown, which we will get to at the end of the podcast in greater detail between the Steelers and Patriots, but we didn't cover every game on the Sunday card. Anything really jump off the page for a particular game that we weren't able to go into with any degree of depth?
You know, the one game to me that is going to be extremely interesting is New Orleans, Arizona. And we look at this game, and we know the NFC South is kind of, you know, a pile of crap. In Arizona, I think they may struggle a little bit this year. But when you look at this line at 2.5, it's really your typical bookmaker line here, because I can tell you right now, I have Arizona power rated ahead of New Orleans. I have Arizona's home field advantage more than the standard 3 points. I have them about 3.25 points. And a lot of guys that are sharp enough to move the market have them about a 3.5-point home field advantage. So this will be an interesting game for me to watch, to kind of digest. This New Orleans defense, their front seven's a train wreck. It looks like Lewis is out in the secondary to add to that. So this is a game that I'm going to be watching intently. And I think if there is value still on the board from a side perspective, it's early in the season, but you probably still have to plug your nose early. I'll be looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Nothing wrong with that. Everyone loves it. The Jaguars, Titans, and Bucks, they will become fan favorites on this podcast, hopefully with better results for us than what we saw from the Jets. And some interesting points that you raised there talking about bookmaker lines. We'll get into that in greater detail throughout the course of the season. Don't want to inundate our listeners with too much technical jargon right away. But, Payne, take out that notepad, mark it down. We can come back and revisit it. But for now, it's time to bring in one of our featured guests that we're going to have each and every Thursday throughout the course of the NFL regular season, Dave Mason from our parent sponsor, BetOnline, to give us that valuable bookmaker's perspective about what we should be looking for the NFL Week 1. Dave, apparently we had so much fun last year doing the Super Bowl podcast, you wanted to get on board each week, and more importantly, you guys wanted to sponsor this thing.
Yeah, it was great. So I'm really looking forward to partnering up with you guys for the football season. So I'll be checking in every week with you guys, let you know where the action is and any other questions you guys have.
Definitely looking forward to having you on each and every Thursday throughout the course of the regular season. And, Dave, we may as well jump right in, talk about the big game to kick off the season this week. Can you kind of explain from the bookmaking side of things what the process has been like for your shop handling the Patriots-Steelers Week 1 game? I mean, is there a lot of exposure now on the large potential middle from a game that opened 2.5, I mean, that was 2.5, 3 at one point, and now sits 6.5, 7?
Yeah, well, to be quite honest, it's kind of a mess. We're looking at the numbers for a while ago. you know, we opened the line back in, I guess it was late April, right? That's when the schedule came out. We opened it at Pats minus 5.5, and it quickly went to minus 6.5. And then when all the suspension stuff came out, you know, we closed it and reopened it at about that minus 2.5, minus 3 range. It went a little lower, but most of the time it's been minus 2.5, minus 3. The early action when we opened it at minus 5.5, minus 6.5, was on the Pats. The suspension action, the majority was on the Steelers. But it wasn't total one-sided. You know, it was like that kind of 60-40 range, 65-35 range. And then last week when the news came out that the suspension was lifted, we reopened it at minus 6, and we actually had a sharp better hit that right away and then went up to minus 7 rather quickly. So as we look now, about 69% of the money is on the Pats, 60% of the bets are on the Pats, and we got that large middle out there too. So, you know, if it falls 3 to 7, it'll be a bloodbath, but you know, but that happens. You know, what can you do? We were pretty conservative with it. We didn't have that number up the whole time. You know, we during those suspension months or whatever it was, weeks. You know, the line was up probably, you know, nowhere near as much as the other games. Obviously, you know, it was just so hard to gauge. So it could have been worse, but, you know, what can you do? What can you do?
Yeah, it's always safe to assume you definitely don't want a Patriots 4-point victory. I imagine your bookmaking sentiments from your side of things resonate with folks around the world that are in a similar predicament. So it'll be fascinating to see this game play out. And more importantly, where this number closes on Thursday night, as you see sevens at your shop, sevens throughout Las Vegas, and some 6.5s at other offshore books. So I'm fascinated to see where this number will eventually settle. Now, the other big thing as we approach week one, Dave, I mean, how would his betting handle look like? You talked about numbers being up since April. Do you see more money wagered now because the games have been on the board for so long and people are just jonesing to get that regular season football fix? Or they come out of the gates a little bit reluctant, waiting to see what these teams are going to produce, because preseason not always a great indication of regular season success.
Right. Now, week one is usually one of our biggest weeks of the year. You don't see too many people holding back to kind of see what's going on the first week or two. You'll see a little bit, but week one's probably our top two or three biggest weeks of the year. It doesn't really have to do too much with the odds being open so long. You know, those guys that bet it in April, May, June, they'd be betting it this week anyways. It just has more to do with the excitement. I mean, we're all ready. You know, it's Christmas Eve, and we're all ready to open those presents and start betting and watching the NFL again. So, yeah, I mean, action is great. The numbers are great. People are coming in, and everybody's ready for NFL Week 1.
Good to know that Philly's Braves taking place in the middle of May doesn't quite get those juices going the same way Week 1 NFL goes. And as we know in this business, the NFL is king. Despite what people think, college football is still a large gap to bridge to get to where pro football is. And now the meat and potatoes of this segment, it's going to be a staple throughout the course of the season. You know, public sides, liabilities, all that good stuff. What do appear to be the most public sides? I mean, is it safe to assume that fading the Bears and 49ers like bettors have done with the win totals is also happening week one? Have to imagine the 49ers as that get-out game, the second Monday nighter is late. We've seen a 5.5, 6-point move. I mean, is that going to be the biggest liability for the house going into the weekend?
Going into the weekend, no, but as the weekend closes, yes. Going into the weekend, going into the weekend, you know, it looks like the Packers is going to be the biggest game. You know, we're getting hammered on that Packers money. 93% of money and about 88% of bets are on Green Bay. Dolphins at the Skins. Everybody's up. That Dolphins looks like it's going to be a public team. 96% of the money is on the Dolphins. And, Monday night. But no, both Monday night games will probably turn out to be the biggest because, as you already know, that, you know, those primetime games are bigger, and especially those Monday night games as the winners, you know, double down and the losers chase their bets. So everybody's betting the Monday night games, and it looks like both games will be very one-sided. Right now we got about 90% of the action is on the Eagles over the Falcons and about 85% of the action is on the Vikings over the Niners.
All right. Now, Dave, we know the public side's the next $100 million question. Where is that sharp action coming in? And we know as we record this podcast on Tuesday, things can change as the weekend gets closer, but where have you guys seen the professionals start to lay their cash?
Sure. Right now the biggest sharp plays have been the Vikings and the Chargers. You know, Vikings, we opened that plus money, and now they're at -2.5, and the Chargers were about -1.5, and now they're -3. Those are the two biggest sharp plays. But like you said, you know, all that can change come the weekend as books raise their limits. Other sharp plays we've seen, the Cardinals -2, and now it's -2.5. The Dolphins at -2.5 and -3, that's now -3.5. Some on the Eagles, too, at -1. Some totals out there, of course. Sharps love the totals. Dallas, New York, over 49.5. That sits 51.5 now. Denver, Baltimore, under 52. That's 49 as we speak. Kansas City, Houston, under 42. That's 40.5. And Philly, Atlanta, over 52. That's about 55 right now. So that's mostly what we've seen, but, you know, check with me in a few days.
And people can follow you on Twitter, at Dave Mason, B-O-L. Some great information that comes out throughout the course of the season. I know you love to interact with some of the Twitter universe, especially during peak seasons. And of course, Dave, before I let you go, as our flagship sponsor on the Bet the Board podcast for 2015, what kind of promotions do you have going on for our listeners that they're able to take advantage of week one as they look to try and get themselves settled for what should be a fascinating NFL season?
Well, for your listeners that bet the board, where we came up with your own promotion, first-time depositors at Bet Online, you're going to get a 75% deposit bonus. Just use promo code BTB75. That's BTB as in Bet the Board 75 for 75% bonus. If you already have a Bet Online account, use promo code BTB50 for a 50% bonus. And all that information, all the terms and conditions, rules, and all that, and the promo codes can be found at www.betonline.ag/bettheboard. Once again, www.betonline.ag/bettheboard. You'll get all the terms and conditions, rules, promo codes, and all that good stuff.
Dave, it's definitely a pleasure. Looking forward to speaking to you each and every Thursday throughout the course of the NFL season so you can share your perspective from what the books are rooting for, where the sharp action's coming in. Payne and I can only do so much heavy lifting. It's great to get an insider's perspective. Thanks a lot, and more importantly, best of luck the opening weekend, and trust me, we'll be rooting for that middle to come crashing in on Monday night. You know, Payne and I are sitting on the Vikings +3.5, so you know, we have to root for our money first, and then secondly, we'll root for the house money.
All right, I appreciate it. I understand.
Thanks again to Dave. We welcome Payne Insider back into the fold. And Payne, apparently Dave not a big fan of us trying to middle a game like that.
Yeah, that's got some potential to it. We did see it tick out to 3 at some places and kind of saw some resistance there. With that being the late Monday night bailout, we'll see how high that actually gets. And then I have a feeling we'll have a ticket on both sides.
Be able to make a greater case for one or the other side come Monday night when we break down not only the Vikings trip out to San Francisco, but of course the Eagles trip to Atlanta, which will be the first of the Monday night tandem. Payne, of course, we heard Mason talk about the potential liability in middle that does exist for the game on Thursday night between the Steelers and Patriots. I know I was able to pick off a small piece in New England at -2.5, but we'll throw that out the window and look at the current numbers where it sits. You're talking about the Patriots, a 7-point favorite in this game, with a total at 52, where do you even begin to start handicapping with so many questions on both of these particular teams?
First of all, leave room on your back for a pat from me.
That's not going to happen often. Well, I'm going to have to save this clip, and after a losing weekend, this is what I'm going to use to rebuild my self-esteem.
Definitely have to give you props for getting the Patriots -2.5, and I know our buddy Somo, who got out ahead of the market as well, laid 3 on the Patriots. He must have picked up that Brady information on his British Columbia scan feed in between reports of a man walking around the Ross Bay Cemetery with a unicorn mask holding a knife chasing pigeons. But props to you guys on that. It's a great grab. We saw definite sharp money hit New England at all points of this, really. At -2.5, creeped out to 3 with the Pouncey injury happening, with Martavius Bryant suspension, and then obviously Le'Veon Bell suspension not being lifted. So we're at 7 now, pretty much across the board. Total has ticked upwards with Brady. One thing that you have to look at in this total is there could be some inclement weather coming in, so you definitely want to monitor that like you do every week. We know one thing about Brady. After Spygate, he came out with his hair on fire. This is an offense that averaged roughly 38 points per game that season after Spygate, and I think he comes out pretty fast and furious there. New England is going to be without LeGarrette Blount. This is the big thing, though. Brian Stork, their center from FSU, is he going to play? So that's something you'll have to monitor. Not a ton of weapons outside. It'll be basically predicated on Edelman and Gronk. Defensively is where I'm going to really want to watch New England. They lose the big man Wilfork in the middle. They lose their middle linebacker. They lose both their cornerbacks. So how quickly can this defense under Belichick kind of get back to last season's form? So this will definitely be a game I'm interested in watching. I do think New England's the side. Not so much now at this number, but I think it's a strong candidate for some teasers getting you down through the two key numbers of 7 and 3.
Payne, if I'm looking at a same-game teaser potentially on this game, you making a case to tease the total down to take it over 45 or tease it up and to go under 59? You mentioned inclement weather, but we know the Patriots don't typically shy away, oftentimes seemingly putting up their biggest offensive outputs when there's rain, snow, sleet, hail, earthquakes, tornadoes, you name it.
Definitely a huge fan of the correlated teaser, but I would look elsewhere. I would look to a side here, and not necessarily in love with teasing totals in general. So I would look towards another side on the board. I think probably Green Bay is square as that sounds, or you're looking at something like the Jacksonville game, which we alluded to a little bit earlier. So I would look more towards finding a match on something on Sunday. And again, not a huge fantasy guy, but it looks like Deion Lewis is going to get the start of tailback for New England, so that might be something for those daily DFS guys to look at as well.
Look at you dropping a little nugget there for the daily fantasy players who inevitably listen. But, Payne, let me say one thing before we wrap this podcast up. I know you took a lot of heat on Twitter after our season preview. I'm just excited that everybody is going to be able to hear that beautiful voice as we start to get into the regular season podcast.
You know, I find the key to doing these podcasts is actually having the volume up on your microphone. I think we've solved that issue. It was a tough thing to figure out, but I think we got it. I'm not the technical guy, as most people will know, but once they hear this podcast, I'm definitely the talent of this podcast. So we got that going for us moving forward.
Hey, they say everyone has to bring something to the table, and for folks that want to get more of your information, encourage them to follow you on Twitter, at Payne Insider. You can follow me at Todd Firm. But Payne, more importantly, tell these fine listeners who may not be listening to this via SoundCloud or iTunes where else they can find our lovely podcast each and every week.
Well, it's definitely posted on your website, toddstake.com. Again, it'll be on SoundCloud. It will be on iTunes. search Bet the Board podcast. You'll see it on there. And we'll also tweet out from time to time some RSS feeds for SoundCloud. So you'll have all the capabilities of listening to this pretty much anywhere. And now we're in the age of social media, so we will definitely tweet this out multiple times from now until Thursday's game kicks off.
We like to think of us as men of the people here on the Bet the Board podcast, going to make this as easy to listen to as possible, no matter what your choice of device is. For Pain Insider, I'm Todd Furman on the Bet the Board podcast. We'll see you again on Monday, hopefully with a few more dollars in your pocket, as we put a cap and bow on what's been an eventful week 1 of the NFL regular season.